Blog Talk Radio.
Every time.
And it comes through, you know, and it comes
comes through in the craziest, simplest, most, you thought you did everything that you needed to do, and then it'll be something that you had no idea that just shows up and it just wrecks your plan. And Mike Tyson has a famous line quote that says, everybody has a plan until they get hit. And so if you're in a season right now where you're getting hit and you just feel like you've done everything that you could do to prepare, be successful, and all those good things, sit down. You know, Grandma used to always say, baby, you're going through too much because you won't go sat down somewhere. So in this season right now, if it looks like everything is going crazy, it's out of control, you done prepared, the right opportunity showed up, and everything that you're trying to do and get to is just not getting to where you needed to get to, sit down. Breathe. Say it's okay. You know, I spent a lot of this past month laying, you know, I worked like crazy. But when I had the opportunity, I laid down. I took naps. I meditated. I separated myself from people. I got off of social media. I didn't answer calls that wasn't pertinent, that wasn't important, that wasn't family structure, wasn't business related. You know, sometimes you got to get away from the mundane day-to-day activities and just get that still place, that quiet place, that moment of just reconciliation with yourself. I do it every morning and I do it before I go to bed, but there's other ways that you can get into it. Like CJ, for you, how do you go about finding your quiet moment, your quiet place?
It's a lot of meditation. I love showers and bubble baths. I will go take a shower in a heartbeat if I feel like, you know, the day is too much for my nerves.
Oh, you like fucking up your utility bill.
My mama always said, the bill paid, go wash it.
Oh, surely, boy. Surely it'd be like, don't know y'all pay no bills in this house. You better go on in there, sit down, wait till it's time for you to take your bath later. But, you know, and it's funny because I was, you know, I did laundry today and I was going back and forth. And one of the things that I was really contemplating on in that is we're different as people. You know, a lot of people just assume, you know, because we get up, we take a bath or we do laundry or we cook dinner or whatever, but we go about life different. And the sad thing for me is I think that we are so quick to judge other people for how they go about life and not realizing that if you've only been taught and shown something a particular type of way, there's no other way for you to do it, because anything else right now until you see it and actually see it work is oblivious to you. It's not even a forethought. It's not even cognitive into reality for you. It's literally you're like, hey, I'm doing the best I can with the information that has been afforded me.
Right.
And then someone comes along and says, hey, you're stupid, and da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, yo, I never seen this before. I didn't even think this was possible. How do you combat that as you get older and use wisdom versus anger or understanding versus frustration? How have you learned to combat that as you've gotten older in life?
I ask questions.
That's a good one.
I ask questions. If I don't understand or if you feel I'm dumb because I lack the knowledge or whatever, fine. I can be all of those things, but educate me. And if you can't, then shut up.
Yeah. And I like the part that you said that I ask questions, because I think, you know, even when we talk business, one of the things that I tell you all the time is there's no dumb question when you're asking a question. And people are like, oh, there is a dumb question. And really it's not. And the reason why I say that is because, like, if a person does not know, how do we get them to a point of understanding?
You teach them.
But we don't anymore.
Like, no, that's true. They want you to come on the job with all the experience and all the education and, you know, just be able to go. But it's like, well, I can be great. But show me what great looks like from your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people aren't willing to show other people what great is.
Mm-hmm.
From their perspective. Because everybody's got a different level of greatness.
Well, you know, great for me is, you know, just being able to get up and put on some ankle socks and do nothing for the day. You know, if I could sit around and do absolutely nothing, just let balls play left and right on the couch, you know, that's that's why I don't invite people over, because I prefer to be naked. But if I could just sit around just in ankle socks with sport, a nice alcoholic beverage, and my kids not, you know, bothering me for the day, I'm great. But, you know, when you get to the jobs and when you get to, you know, working with supervisors and managers and different corporations, people have this unrealistic expectation of believing that we're all going to do things the exact same way. And one of the things that even when I work, even with myself, you know, I teach myself to, hey, just because you know that answer, just because you understand why that's doing it the way that it's being done, understand, at some point you did. And what did that look like for you when you did? Because a lot of people don't realize that, you know, we garner information. And some of us get to this point where we've gotten so much knowledge or education or wisdom or whatever that we literally forget that there was a point when we were sitting in the classroom and we didn't know the answer.
Scratching our head and leaving the classroom with headaches. I don't know how fast the class.
Listen, I can tell you right now, I don't know a day that I ever understood how I passed the class. Baby, listen, my teachers used to look at me and say, sir, you smart and all, but yeah, just do something different. And not in a sense of like I was like, cause I wasn't a super nerd. Like, trust me and believe me when I say I was not. Like, I was smart enough to pass the classes. Some classes I would have A's, some classes B's, and you know, there were some classes I didn't even try. Like, I didn't even care. So that could easily be an extra D class for the week. And so I've learned that learning to care about things and understanding how a person cares about things is just as impactful as making sure that they understand. And what I mean by that is, when you go to a job, if the person that you're trying to incentivize doesn't care about money, then how do you incentivize that person to get better, do better, be better? Because not every single person who's at your job focuses money. Not everybody is looking for a promotion. Not everybody's looking for additional responsibility. What about that person who just wants to come in, do their job, not be bothered, have a cup of coffee, a couple of smoke breaks, and go home? How do you get the best out of that person?
You got to get to know that person.
And that's where we fail. Business is no longer personal. Everybody uses all of the cliche words and says, oh, we're a family-oriented company, and we're this and we're that, and all of those words. But what does that look like? How does that strategy go from being a strategy to implement it within the culture of the work? So many people fail at that. So many people struggle at that because we have lost one fine art. And if I don't feel like we've lost anything through COVID, there's one fine art that I think has gotten shredded over the past decade. COVID played a big part of it, and it's soft skills. We've lost the ability to actively listen. We've lost the ability to effectively communicate. And we've truly lost the ability to comprehend and understand another person's perspective and point of view. We have assumed that because we are the leaders and that we are the people in charge of these industries or these people, that we have all the right answers. And it is destroying the fabric of the working class American citizen. That's my opinion. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to like what I'm saying in that one. What do you think about that?
I think you're right. I've worked for lots of different companies over the years, and definitely within this past decade.
Definitely within the past decade.
I've seen companies deteriorate, like, and it's not from the inside out. Like, it's not the fact that they don't have good products. It's not the fact that they don't have, you know, people that are actually willing to work. They have all of these things. It's the fact that I think the people in charge, their focus is a number, whereas the people actually doing the work care more so about the work itself.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. If you are and you like old school music, this song right here should take you back to a special place in time when you was truly, truly, truly enjoying old school R&B. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Service.
What areas do you service?
Currently,
Florida. However, we're licensed for the whole United States, so if you need us, give us a call.
All right. Listen, I like when businesses like to go around the nation. Let's do it. All right, y'all, Black History is World History, again, brought to you by Goddess of Cleaning. We are going to celebrate, and I saw this really about 2 months ago, and I've been it's funny because I almost couldn't find it today, and so it took me a minute. I had to really sit back and think of this special lady, and she is very, very historic for me because her purpose and her role. Myself in the military, I was a 92 Golf, which is a cook, and that is actually what she did in the military. She is a military cook, but she is the first female Buffalo soldier. Over 400 females served in the Indian American War, but she is truly the only female Buffalo soldier to serve, and her name is Kathy Williams. She was born September 1842. There's different, because history back then for Black people wasn't always accurate, so there's a two-year difference in her date of birth. Some people say 842, some people say 44, but she was born in Independence, Missouri. She died in 1893. She was, her mother was an enslaved woman and her father was a freeman. I didn't really find out if he was Black or white, didn't really focus on that. I more wanted to focus on how she got into the military. So she disguised herself as a man, to get into the military. And as she went through the process of getting into the military, originally she got in as served as a woman to cook and do all the different things. But she actually wanted to serve on the front line. And so she actually went up through the process, completely changed her name to William Kathy, made her first name actually her last name, so she could actually serve. She went on to serve admirably until the time that she got out. She got out because she had originally contracted smallpox and some other issues. She only served actually 6 years in the military. When she got out, she actually went to go apply for benefits, veterans benefits when she got out, and she was denied, which women then were getting benefits because of their actual attributes of services to the military, but she ended up subsequently dying roughly about 6 months after she was denied for her benefits. But her whole purpose and her whole function in life was she had wanted to actually serve. And even when she had got smallpox, she got healed, and then she went back to serve with her unit. And then even after she was kicked out, the general that she had served under, she ended up following him around as a non-enlisted person for a few years later, continuing to serve him and his staff for a few more years. So it just the perseverance of doing what you felt like you were called to do on earth is why I picked her, because it's a struggle. When you know that you have a gift and you know you want to do something and you know you truly have a heart to do something, there are so many obstacles. Sometimes it feels like just shows up in your way, whether it be your health, whether it be your sex, whether it be your color, whether it be your age, whether it be... There's all types. I mean, and we're just going through the physicals and the things that people can see. But there are so many different variables, whether it's family, whether it's children, whether it's religious preference. We could go down a list of about a million things that could get in your way to stop you from reaching your goal. But it's the people who have that just sheer testament, sheer will to do what it is that they do. So I definitely recommend, because I don't want to go into her whole bio, because, I mean, it's a lengthy bio of everything that she did. When she got out of the military, she eventually became a seamstress, and that's what she did as a career to end her days. But just to be recognized as truly the only female Buffalo soldier is just historic, in my opinion. And I think when it comes to military contributions in the old days, I don't think we give enough credit to the females who have benefited, helped the United States military benefit in war campaigns and other things around the world. So shout out to Miss Kathy Williams for her dedicated and memorable service. And If you go to Missouri and go to New Mexico where she served at, there's all types of just historic data and just plaques, statues, and different things to honor her. So if you ever are in Santa Fe, a.k.a. Pueblo, New Mexico, or go to Independence, Missouri, there's a lot of things in those two areas, which are actually two places that you kind of got some history about, CJ. So definitely those are some places that you can go and learn a little bit more about Miss Williams.
I didn't know her before you introduced her. That was cool.
You know, and that's the one thing, you know, black people, you know, black history is world history. I think that's the thing that we, you know, even when we first founded this podcast, that was one of the things that I definitely wanted to make sure that we did was bring to light people that aren't talked about, you know, especially in black history. You know, I always tell people, we talk about the Faye Fives, we talk about Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, you know, again, the famous five or 10, 15, 20 people in history, but we don't do enough digging and diving into our actual history to put more out there. And don't get me wrong, there's organizations across the world. Like I said, NPR does their things. I'm sure all the Black History Museums around the United States and in each individual city. But just from a standpoint of just helping those of us who don't know about certain people, just giving them access to, you know, go out there and say, hey, there's more out there that we can find, that we can discover, and that we can put out there. So that's, you know, Miss Kathy Williams, and that's Black history is world history. But you know what? It's funny because I'm sitting here as we did that, I can honestly say that I've missed doing the podcast. Like, you know, the break was needed. You know, for those who don't know me, I go hard in a lot of the things that we do. And the break was definitely needed, but I can honestly say that I'm happy. I'm happy with taking the break off, and I'm happy to what we're going to do over this winter. We're going to be adding some new people this year. Dwayne says he's going to be coming back soon as well. So for those of you who missed the Deep Voice New York, he will be back on the show at some point. I don't know his schedule, but he will be popping in from time to time with his raspy voice. But I just told him, I said, hey, two things. Get rid of the noise in the background and change your goddamn battery and smoke detector. So he'll definitely be back. We're going to be having some new ladies that's going to be joining the podcast. Two ladies out of Ohio, they're going to be coming on later on in the season. We're going to have them featured on the show October the 22nd. We're going to do an interview with them first.
Yay.
And then they will be coming into the fold with us. And it's funny because one of the ladies has a travel company, and it's funny because one of my classmates just reached out to me about possibly doing a cruise for our class reunion for next year. So we're going to schedule a meeting, and if all goes well, I'd like to actually see about her actually participating in doing that. Because one thing about me is I want to make sure that we add more black businesses to the fold and help black businesses expand past just making money, but actually being relevant in the community and being and just garnering a reputation of just being solid foundational businesses 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the line, and leaving more than just, ooh, we grew money, we grew houses, we grew wealth. Because wealth is great, but if we can actually take the business position to where we can have family legacy businesses in the United States for black families, it will change a little bit of some of the systemic racism that I think we often put ourselves into. And I don't mean that we put ourselves into it, but, you know, just comes about because of the fact that those opportunities have been hard and hard for us. You know, we've dealt with systemic racism. We've dealt with house inequality. We've dealt with food inequality. We've dealt with education inequality. We've dealt with building these things up and then having, you know, riots or mass destructions come through and destroy our neighborhoods just simply because we're black or we're Hispanic or we're not, you know, quote unquote white American. So this just another way for us to just build wealth and legacy within the United States, which I feel like we've done year after year, decade after decade, millennia after millennia. But I think there's so many other ways that we can go about doing that other than just focusing on just the money. I think not just the money and the land ownership, but growing the entire spectrum. All right, guys, we want to take this quick commercial break. I'm going to hit y'all with an old school classic. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You can catch me in the Chevy van while I'm fishing. Ooh, got the grizzly locked in the fizzy. Pop the grizzly going fishing down a bar with the tar and fishing. From the cool through the avenue while my people are popping bottles up and cool. My neighbor back from the Dewey goes to Hubcap and back to the shack. Came back to the what's that? It's a very whoop thing. It's everything. Baby cabbage, baby yellow. I'm good to be ready to say something. Feel up. Got the whoop for the killers. We're a best for the killers. Something that's close to kill up in the pen. Apple.
Kevin Stage would love it, but I'm sorry, I'm not a pumpkin person.
I'm ready for the gumbo and for tamales and everything else.
Well,
you
know, you're Mexican anyway, so
Mexicans don't make gumbo. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Okay. It is also National Green City Day. It is also...
What is Green City Day?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Oh.
I'm going to fire the production manager. She could give us these days that nobody knew. Listen, is that like the city girl?
No. See, my thought was Emerald City, but, you know, never mind.
I'm going to have to look that one up. Go ahead. I'm going to find it.
It is also National Black Dog Day. It is National Hair Day. So if you did not, you should probably just come to that. It is also National Homemade Cookie Day. My inside fat girl just got really happy for that one. And also World Vegetarian Day. That is all for October 1st. We have October the 2nd, which is tomorrow. It's going to be National Custodial Workers Day.
Oh, that's us. Hey, listen, I done cleaned the toilet a couple, you know, I've been a janitor a couple of times in my life. But shout out to the janitors. Like,
yay.
You know, chicks be acting like janitors don't be needing love, too. Listen, they need head.
It is National Child Health Day, National Name Your Car Day.
Child Health Day?
Child Health Day.
And Name Your Car Day. What's your car name?
Beautiful.
Okay.
See the red Taurus, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
It is also National Fried Scallop Day, National Consignment Day, and National Smarty Candy Day.
Them shit was nasty. That was like chocolate.
I was excited about the National Confinement Day.
You just a girl. Y'all like to shop. You know what? Keep going. What's the name?
Okay, October 3rd. It is National Techies Day.
Shout out to the techie people.
Yeah.
I'm not one of them. I play with technology, but I'm dumb. Like, listen.
No comment. I do not play with technology.
Listen,
I tell people all the time I am illiterate.
Okay, go on. Keep reading. Listen, because people out here laughing at both of us tonight. Listen.
Whatever, it's cool. It is also National Boyfriend Day.
Oh.
On the 3rd.
On the 3rd?
On the 3rd.
Okay, so what are we doing? We taking him so he can get some steak and some poom poom?
No.
Well, what the hell he get?
I don't know. I don't got one. I don't know, y'all.
All right, y'all. We're gonna play a game. It's gonna be called Find CJ a Boo.
I don't like this game.
You don't like this game already? All right, so listen. All right, so look, I'm gonna give y'all the number to the show real quick. So the number is 319-527-6703. Call in if you think you could be a possible boo for CJ. Now I'm gonna tell you right now, broke niggas need not apply. Listen. I'm gonna tell you like I got, cause I ain't got nothing but sisters, so I'm gonna tell you how my sisters say. Listen, before you call me, understand we got bills and we got responsibilities. So if you can't come and take care of something other than just me, need not apply. All right, let's go back to this National Green City Day. So what that actually means is highlight the progress and innovation cities are making to become more sustainable. I don't know how they doing this because my bills keep going up, so
yeah.
I'm not understanding anything about your sustainability because my bills ain't went down. Gas ain't went down. Utilities ain't went down. Food ain't went down. So I'm not understanding it. Y'all can call it sustainability all you want to. I want it to be low-cost measures.
Can we go back to 1999, like the way the groceries were set up?
Can we go back to gas in 1999? Gas could be at 99. Gas could be in the range anywhere from 79 cents to $1.29. That, you know what I'm saying? Anything over $1.29 back in those days, depending upon where you stayed. Now, if you stayed in places like California and stuff like that, it was still kind of up there. But for like across the South, them were good days, baby. Listen,
$1.25.
Listen, somebody
get 10 on plus 2.
Listen, You can go, listen. You
we
can,
got a Snickers and an ice.
I'm going to take it out on the side. Yes, you know, I was just about to say that. You got something on the side. You can't even get nothing on the side now. You gonna get. You literally got to go get 300 on pump two now.
Oh.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Listen. And then the crazy part is like the up and down of food, like,
oh,
and it's crazy. And it's crazy because I was looking, there are times when you go actually look at processed food is cheaper than actual real food. Please tell me how that's possible. Well, I ain't dying for nobody. Listen, I'm still spending the money. I'm going to eat food. Like, yeah, listen, that's the thing. You already know I ain't buying a can of nothing.
No.
You ain't. And it's crazy because I want the biggest issue that I have with food sustainability in the United States is you actually have black farmers and Hispanic and Latino farmers who want and are willing to actually have farms and actually work this land and actually hire people to work this land. But the government is consistently undercutting and underfunding these groups. Like, matter of fact, there's a whole massive lawsuit right now and within the government for how they basically didn't give the money to the black farmers that they were supposed to get pre and post COVID. So there's a whole bunch of, whatever. And then also, There's also for marijuana growers, like in a lot of the states where marijuana had become legal, black folks were literally the last and oftentimes never. Like when you go look at certain areas, there are black people who've literally applied, like as soon as it became legal, who've never been allowed to actually grow and be a part of the industry.
Well, we can get a carton of smoke based
every day. Cause
I want to make it make sense because I don't understand. And I want to know their process for how they're growing things. That is an issue to me personally. Because don't spike my weeds in that discussion.
And that's, if I'm not mistaken, like that was a big issue with a lot of stuff that was coming out of Colorado at some point. Because like they were like people were starting to get cancer from weed. And I'm like, that's not even possible. That never happened before, but then all of a sudden, what was being grown. So, like for a long time, there was like kind of like a hush hush ban on Colorado. So, not Colorado, but Colorado's weed. So, again, like I said, I just want to know the process. I want to make sure that as we do what we do in society, that we keep it, that we keep it open, available, and just available to the community. Like let's not destroy one part of the community just to build up the other part of the community. I think that sometimes we get so focused on what we want that we don't understand that we are destroying the rest of society just to make sure that we can unintentionally just benefit one group. But if you're doing that, you're going to create a skew that's not going to help the overall health of the market. Fortunately, in America, black folks are the number one consumer of damn near everything that's in here. So if we're going to be the number one consumerism, you have to allow us to make some type of monetary gain towards more than just being a working hand or being, being the people that's the labor market, but not having the opportunity to be the owner or to be the principal investor. Like, we have to make sure that these opportunities just become affordable and fair. And I was looking at, look at what they're doing with DEI. If they actually get to not only reverse DEI and then also reverse, affirmative action and reverse just all the things that's come forward out of these processes, then you're going to end up seeing just a deterioration of historically black anything, historical black colleges, historical black, because they want to make it fair and equal across the board, but at the same time, we can't get into their institutions.
Because it's never been.
And so when you have, when you have people like Ed Blum and guys like that who their organizations are literally just trying to destroy the trying to destroy the legislative purpose of what's been done. Their goal is to roll back all of these things so they can say it's an equal playing surface, but how can it be equal when it's never been equal? So we're going to take a quick commercial break, guys. When we come back, we're going to get into our next segment. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. You know, we are the home of the party in your mouth wings. What else is on that list? Party
listen,
in your mouth
wings is something to die for. Like,
don't do. Listen, I already got people like, listen, it's funny when I show up, especially with me and her when we travel. It's like, hey, y'all gonna make such and such when y'all get here? Like, listen, we ain't even traveled yet. Like, and it's funny because people will literally be like, hey, I'll buy the stuff if you just come be in my kitchen and cook it.
Yeah.
So shout out to SCB Catering and my counter chef in the back. We getting ready to get into birthdays. Y'all forgive me if I butcher these names tonight because I didn't really prepare any of these. I just looked at the list real quick. So we're going to do this quick birthday list, and then we're going to get into other parts of the show tonight. So tonight, October the 1st, we have Journey Mullet, Sumlet. I'm not sure. Somlett, Sumlet, Llett. Yeah. And then we have Shensia. Again, I don't know who none of these people are.
Now, the first one I think was an East Side.
Yes, that's her. I've always seen her name. I've never been able to pronounce it.
Okay.
Okay, yes. And then we have Howard Hewitt, Greg Davis Jr. Ooh, and then one of my favorites, Donny Hathaway. So October 1st. Donnie saves y'all because I love me some Donnie. October the 2nd, we have Latasha Scott, Freddie Jackson. I can't play none of Freddie. Freddie had me in my feelings in here when I'm drinking. Freddie will either put you in love or in your emotions. There's no in-between with Freddie. Freddie just gets you there. Also on the 2nd, we have Dion Allen. We have William Haynes' birthday, I'm sorry. Mandisa's birthday is also October the 2nd. And then Deshaun Holton's birthday is the 2nd. So I know a couple of people off that list. Like, it'd be hard for me to do some of these sometimes because, like, when you do black celebrity birthdays, I don't be knowing, I gave up on life at one point. So y'all look at it like this. In 2000, I went overseas. Then I came back to the States, and I didn't really care about nothing then because I had kids. Like, I had a couple, like, I had little regrets at that point, so I'm running around chasing them. And then deployed to Iraq, then came back, then deployed to Iraq again. And then when I came back in, like, 10, I went to college, and then, you know, did the whole family thing, and then got distracted again. And then at that point, music, and then, like, I just felt like, when I got to in about my mid-30s, I just felt like life was going in a direction where I just really gave up on, like, the whole entertainment segment of just trying to keep up. I just felt like most of the stuff that was out there, they was no longer talking to me. You know, like R&B, certain things, like, really, like, after, like, the early 2000s, I just felt like R&B was no longer for me. I felt like they were singing to, like kids, like, they weren't talking. Like, I was still stuck with just the old school people, MJ, Mary, Raheem Devon, will you ring out your draw? Just ring out your draw.
It's not that bad.
Okay. All right. Let's do October. She skipped the 3rd. She went to the 4th. All right, we're just gonna do the 4th because that's what she gave me. I'm not yelling at the production manager. She gave me what she gave me. We have also on the 4th we have Tessa Thompson, ASAP Rocky, NDRE. Listen, you want to get out of being angry? Like when I'm angry. And I mean, when I want to slap a bitch in the face, and I do mean slap a bitch in the face, I listen to India. And then I also, Talib Kweli is on the 4th, and then Reverend Al Sharpton's birthday is on the 4th. Now, when you say Reverend Al, I have to know, are you talking about Big Al or Little Al? Because they're not the same Al. Big Al, I can respect. Little skinny bubblehead Al, I don't really she said she meant the 3rd. She put the 4th. Like, I don't have a problem with skinny Al because sometimes you got to do what you need to do to be healthy. But he just looked like a bobblehead figure. Like, it's like whoever told him he needed to be that small didn't tell him what his head would look like on that body. it's like when Oprah gets too small. Like, that head just don't fit that little body. Like, I'm going to need you. Like, you, some people just got to eat a sandwich. Like, some people can't be 145. Like, you have to be 170. You know what I'm saying? Some people can't be 150. You got to be 190. Some people can't be under 200. Like, it just looked bad on them. And it was funny because even in the military, that was one of the biggest problems that I had with the military weight scale because, when I went in the military, I was 154 pounds when I went in the military. And I had to get weight and tape because I was overweight according – I was literally 5 pounds overweight according to the scale, even though I was in the best shape of my life. I had just come out of high school. I had just won state in track. Like, it's like literally, I graduated high school the 30th of May, and I was in basic training. First day of basic training was June 10th. So literally, not even a full 14 days. State track meet was the because we had the state track meet after we graduated, actually. So, like, the first through, like, the fourth of that week of that – no. We graduated – no, state was the week before we graduated. So, like, the 20th, we went to state, then we came back, we graduated, and then, like, literally about a week later, I was going off into the military, and that still weighed and tape, even though I scored on the extended scale, 300-plus push-up, sit-up, 2-mile run, everything. They was like, yeah, you still got to get weighed and taped. I'm like, bro, I'm not even – like, sir, like.
I'm 5'6". There's no way that I'm supposed to be smaller than 145. I was 145, and they were like, yeah, you're still chunky.
Yeah, like, and that scale kills me. Like, and it's funny because, like, even with the females, y'all get way weird because it's, like, neck, hips, wrist. Like, it's a whole bust line. Like, y'all got a whole bunch of dumb shit that they make. They do y'all dirty, man. Like, dudes, we get the Adam's apple, and then we get across the stomach. I think those are two we do. It was something else, but I don't know. I gave up, man. It was like it was just too much. Like you got dudes. Like,
cannot pass your physical fitness test. Right. That's all I
was a 300 on the extended scale.
Cannot pass your physical fitness test.
Man,
they
didn't care. Sir, sir, you can have all of this, but we still finna tape you. And if you fail the tape, then we're still gonna put you in the. Then you
gotta go to the fat boy.
Right. All right. Look at what I did in the fat boy program. Listen, I got a 300 on the extended scale PT score, but I'm in the fat boy program.
Man, get the
fuck out of here, bro. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, when I got to Germany, I ain't gonna lie. Now, I ate all the weight they told. Oh, listen, curry schnitzel was my, listen, give me some pommes frites on the side, give me a cola bison, and I'm, listen, we ain't going to talk about how fat I could have been over there. All right, y'all, we're going to take a quick commercial break, y'all. I ain't even got the song ready. We sitting over here reminiscing about fat time. I'm going to take y'all back, man. This is true. A classic. I was actually playing this song this morning on my way to the laundromat. I think I scared the hell out of this dude because he didn't see me come around the corner. He just heard me come around the corner. So here is an old stick. I will be right back after this quick commercial break.
Hit the beat now. Oh, baby.
Manager and DJ's Roundtable. If you are looking to have your have any commercials, any sponsorship, if you would like to just do anything with our show, reach out to DJ's Roundtable. You can email us at djsroundtable19@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok. Inbox, our production manager runs all those sites. Let them know. They'll send you all the information about how you can either be sponsored or how you can sponsor the show, have your commercials or anything like that played on the show. So that is djsroundtable19@gmail.com, djsroundtable19@gmail.com. And we're going to get into our last segment, which is my absolute favorite segment, and this segment is Black People is Dope. The reason why it's so important to do this segment is because this segment focuses on people who are living. And every week when we do our show, we want to make sure that we highlight someone who we feel like has done significant contributions to the Black community, who has uplifted or done something that just encourages people who we, you know, people around us to do better, be better, and live better. So without further ado, Miss CJ is going to do our Black Person is Dope.
Right. So, she was born June 19th, 1948. She's an actress. She is also the dean of College Fine Arts at Howard University. She is best known for her role as Claire Huxtable on the sitcom The Cosby Show. She did a lot. Guys, she did a lot. I did not know. I learned in this excursion that she was actually on Broadway. She has a lot of movie creds and a lot of Broadway creds as well. She's a mother of two.
What didn't she do?
Yeah, what didn't she do? She got a lot of awards. The NAACP Image Award she won in 2008 for Raisin in the Sun. She also won a Tony Award for Best Actress in a Play. She was in Four Colored Girls, Creed 1, 2, and 3. She was the voice on Little Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious to me. I did not know that she was the understudy for Phoenix Jones and Dreamgirls.
Mm-hmm.
That was really cool. I love Dreamgirls, so that was cool to learn. Also, she was a munchkin in The Wiz.
Mm-hmm.
Love that movie. yeah, she went on to do a lot of amazing things. Just a amazing things. If you haven't figured it out yet, I am definitely talking about Miss Felicia Rashad. I love her. I grew up with her on the Husky Blues, so that's the person that we picked for tonight's show.
And it's funny that you would do her because, like, for our generation, I can't say older or younger, but for our generation, like, she was, like, the epitome of, like, the black mom.
Yes.
Like, she was, like, America's black mom for about maybe at least two decades, from, like, the 80s to early 2000s. She was, like, black mom. Like, if when you looked up and said, you know, what does black mom resonate to most of us? Like, not, you know, not being our mom, but, you know, someone you could say, if I didn't have my mom, who would I like to be my mom? I think she set a great standard of what that would look like. And don't get me wrong, there were others on TV who played that role, but synonymously across America, I can honestly say, in my opinion, that I just felt like when you say mom or mom standard, mom stereotype, like she nailed it. And I think the wisdom and the elegance and the grace and the compassion and the wisdom that she put into the role when she played a mom, just because, like, even when she wasn't, you know, doing it in the Huxtables and the Cosby Show and, you know, all the things that she did with Bill, even when you saw her in her other roles, there were still that same nurturing, uplifting, empowering roles that she would always put on, you know.
Your
oh, yeah, she hurt the feelings now. Listen, that mouth don't play. That's a great person to. That's like, if you know, coming back to the show, being gone for so long, I think that's like one of the greatest people that you could have picked to do, you know, Black People Is Dope, because she is truly amazing. And you know, even though we say, you know, give people their flowers while they're alive, like, even if she never hears the show and never, like, to me, that is one woman that I just feel like, you know, and certain people in our culture that I just feel like they carry so much on their back. And I just feel like for our culture, that mom stereotype, that just that wisdom, that compassion, that loving, that guidance. I mean, I still watch clips of the Cosby Show on Facebook and other places and giggle and still look at the words that she said 15, 20, 30 years ago and still use them to today.
Yeah.
You know, so thank you for that. Like, you know, sometimes I don't think we humble ourselves enough to say thank you for things that we don't realize. And so just you giving that little bit of history tonight, thank you, because I needed that. Like, you know, as a dude who, you know, my mom's no longer here. And so just having that mom role, having that mom influence, I think sometimes we take moms for granted. Moms is definitely, like, one of the most sacred things that you can have. And I tell people all the time who are at war with their mom or going through bouts and bouts with their mom, like, you don't know what mom had to go through in order for you to be able to have the life that you have.
That's right.
And so just having, you know, having witnessed, you know, for me, I went through a lot of them. Like, not so much me and her being at odds, but just life and being able to be someone that my mom felt like she could depend on as she went through those things. Man, cherish those relationships. You know, talk to your mom. Reach out to your mom. Love on your mom. You know, tell your mom, I love that, you know. So
regularly.
Like, you know, walk up to your mom, hug your mom, and just be like, Mom, you know what? Regardless of what it was or what it is or what it could or should be, just, you know, thank you.
You know, that's important, though. Like, even in just that, like, it'll change, I personally think, it'll change the relationship. Like,
mm-hmm.
if it's sour for whatever reason, like, because people aren't perfect and people go through a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
But just having that, you know what, like, regardless of what we've gone through, like, I still love you, I still care for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's more empowering than anything.
Well, and hurt people, but we don't give enough credit to saying that love, you know, me and the production manager, we used to, and I think we're going to bring it back. Matter of fact, we're going to do this for the rest of the rest of this season. I want to bring back ELE. Everybody love everybody. Because, you know, love is such a powerful thing, you know, and everybody gets so focused on saying, I love you. But we don't understand when you actually, you know, think about those people that you actually feel like love you. And not love you because they want something from you, or not want, you know, love you because, you know, the dude wants to try to have sex with you, or the girl is trying to see what she can get out of you, or whatever the case may be. But loving you because you woke up this morning, loving you because you're here, loving you because you're physically a part of this plane, this realm, this sphere. It's like the love that people have shown me over the course of my life, I can honestly say that I wouldn't have accomplished probably 80% of what I wanted to be in life without the love and support that I've gotten from people who, one, didn't even have to love. You know, a lot of times we don't realize that people don't have to love you. Like, they don't have to care. They don't have to get up in the morning and have you on their mind. So if a person is willing to take the time to get up in the morning and text you, if a person is willing to get up and call you, if a person is willing to put you anywhere, hell, you could put me 15th on the list. At least you thought about it. We get so caught up in not being first all the time, not realizing that person didn't even have to care. Like, people have become so self-absorbed and self-entitled that they really believe that everyone has to put them first, have to care about what they're doing, have to believe in their dreams, have to support them, and they don't.
They don't even listen.
No.
They don't even listen.
Yeah. But when you realize that there are people who care, and you realize that there are people that love you, and you realize that there's people that support you, gravitate to those people, love them, hold on to them. But the biggest thing is we have to learn to stop abusing those who truly show up, who are truly. So, ELE. CJ, we come to that part of the show because, y'all, we have been gone for forever, and I tell y'all all the time that a two-hour show is not easy, so we're not doing 2 hours tonight. Simply because the production manager, and I'm going to blame the production manager on why we're not doing a two-hour show, because she couldn't find the topic for the show tonight. I didn't come up with the pre-topic because she originally had it, and then she lost it and couldn't find it. So I'm going to blame her on air because I don't get to blame her often for shit because, you know, generally everything that happens on this show, it's always my fault. So the fact that I get to blame one person for a moment, we're gonna blame her for that. So. But this is the segment where so many people look forward to. So we're going to jump right into it. We're not going to do any more commercial breaks. We're going to jump right into this. And it is the word of the day. So, Kalisha, I'm going to let you go first. Wow, I actually said your name for once. I did. But you got it. CJ, it's on you. We're going to do the word of the day. So go ahead, bless us.
All right. So I'm going to tell you all to stop waiting for Friday. Stop waiting for summer. Stop waiting for someone to fall in love with you. Stop waiting for life. Happiness is achieved when you stop waiting for it and make the most of the moment. So make the most of every moment.
It's funny because our word of the day kind of tie into each other. And it's almost, mine is almost agape. Seize the moment. Take the time to go get what you want. We are so focused on being right. We are so focused on having all the knowledge. We're so focused on making sure the money lines up. We're so focused on all the different things that everyone tells us is required in order to do it. And if I would have done that in life, I would not have anything that I have. You have to go out there, and even when it looks stupid, even when you look stupid, even when people are calling you foolish, even when they're calling you names, go get it. Go seize it. Go try. Go put in the effort. The only thing that they can tell you is no. And if they tell you no, no doesn't mean no. No means not right now.
That's my favorite thing.
Go get it. Go get it. Because
even if they say no, a lot of times, and this is something that I've learned, even in interviewing, going after jobs, going after new positions, going after new skills, even if they tell you no, one thing that I've learned is so many times, they'll give you additional resources to show you how to get that.
That goes back to ask the question.
So seize the moment. All right.
All right, y'all. We're going to get up out of here. I just thought that this song would be a perfect closure for the song because sometimes you have to get just a little bit closer. So I love y'all.